And I hope, you know, again, that's, I know my my little redneck brain can't wrap around God's goodness, and I don't have the vocabulary of some people that can explain things and make them come alive. But I hope you could sense my realness, the excitement that I have about what all God's given us and things like that. And so, you know, whatever you do with Jesus, if you do the right thing with Him, you'll be blessed in heaven, you'll be blessed in your daily life, things like that. So praise the Lord. So this kind of goes along with that theme there a little bit. In Matthew 24, verse 42, it says, verse 42 says, "Watch therefore." So because of what we saw this morning and what all God has done for us and what all He's going to do, and there has been some things prophesied, there's been some things set in motion and things like that. And verse 42 tells us, "Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour the Lord doth come." And so, of course, when He does come back, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we'll get new bodies and so forth, and then we'll get our, areas of service throughout the 1,000 years and so forth, and a new heaven and new earth. But until that time, we're supposed to be setting on ready. And again, I try to be that type of person that I set on ready for anything. Always watching, always being ready for whatever. Now, I'm just like everybody else. I enjoy a nap in my recliner. I don't get to do that often, but I do enjoy it when I do get to do it. And I think the best naps like that's when you don't plan for it. You just actually, you know, drift off and, you know, you're not worrying about anything, things like that. And it seems like the best sleep. But we're supposed to be setting on ready. And that's what we're going to preach tonight, is be also ready. And it says, "Watch ye therefore, and know not, for we know not the hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in which, or in what watch the thief would come, basically whatever time the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken into." So again, thieves of today, they don't, you know, they don't text out their itinerary. They don't, you know, email out their motives and things like that and where they're going to be, things like that. They do it, you know, secretively, and they don't let you know. Because if you did get an email or a text that, "Hey, tonight around 8 o'clock I was going to swing by your house and, you know, we were going to rob all your stuff." And you're like, "Not in my house, you're not. You know, I paid for all that stuff. That belongs to me, and I would be ready," and so forth. And so again, Jesus is not going to tell us. The Bible says no man knoweth the hour when He's going to come back. And so, because if we knew the day and the time, things like that, we'd all get spiffied up and we'd all be right with God. We'd have read our Bible that day. We probably would have passed out some tracts and things like that. Why? Because we would want to impress the Lord when He came back. But we don't know. And so that's why we're supposed to be setting on ready, be ready at any time. And then it goes on to say in verse 44, "Therefore," and here's the title of the sermon, "be ye also ready, for the in such an hour when you think not the Son of Man cometh. For then is a faithful and a wise servant whom his Lord hath made him ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. And blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." So in other words, we're always ready for the Lord to come back. And we ought to be sitting on ready. So according to these verses, especially in verse 45, this is what we ought to be doing every minute of every day, of every hour, of every week, every month, every year, all that kind of stuff, until the Lord comes back. We ought to be faithful. Faithful to do what He wants us to do. And then we ought to be wise, not unwise. We ought to be a servant, not a know-it-all and have it all figured out and I'm in charge, I'm the boss. No, we ought to be a servant. And then it says here, rulers of over His household. And so God give us a house to have an order, especially if you have children in it. God gave you a household to train those children in, things like that. And that's what He wants to define us doing when He comes back. To be faithful, to be wise, to be a servant, be a ruler of that household. And then it says here, and give them meat. And of course, when somebody comes to your house, it doesn't happen a lot in these day and times that people come unannounced. But if they do, you know, it's just, "Hey, would you like to come in? You want to take a load off? You want me to hold your jacket? You want something to drink? You want something to eat?" Things like that. That's just what we do. And we're ready to do that at all times. So the word "ready" here, obviously verse 46, says blessed, or, you know, that person will be blessed if he's doing that. if he's being faithful, if he's being wise, if he's being a good servant, if he's ruling his house, and if he's giving out meat, he's going to be blessed because of that. So the word ready here means prepared to be used immediately. You don't have to, again, when somebody says, hey, you want to go this? Well, let me, and you start getting your stuff together. And some people are slow. You know, they'll go over here and they'll put one shoe on. And they'll go over here and they'll put their keys in their pocket. And then they'll go back over here and put that other shoe on. And then they'll go over here and they're looking for their phone and things like that. So in other words, if they were going to, you know, go with you quickly, you'd need to tell them a day or two in advance because they're just slow. You know, and again, some of you are grinning, so you may be married or you may have somebody like that in your house. They're not ready. But some people, they're ready to go, some police officers and some, FBI, things like they have that go bag or they have that ready bag. In other words, they could be called in a second. Same way with somebody in an ambulance. Again, you want them to be ready if you need them. You make that 911 phone call and, well, let's see, we got any gas in the ambulance? Well, we're going to run by there and fill it up with gas. We'll be over there shortly. You don't want that. You want the ambulance driver to be ready. The fire truck, well, I don't know. That battery's been dead for a couple weeks. We'll go out there and charge it up. If we can get her to crank, we'll come over and put your fire out. No, you want them to be ready, sitting on ready. And so, again, that's kind of what this is saying here. The Lord wants us Christians to take our job seriously, like an EMT would take their job seriously, or a fireman would take their job seriously, FBI agent, things like that. They have to be ready at that beckoning, that instant call. And so that's what being ready means, prepared and unhesitant. Again, they tell you this in battle. You can't hesitate. I don't know if I ought to shoot this person. If they're about to ready to shoot you, you better be ready to shoot them first without hesitation and things like that. Willing to do things without delay. Hesitation would be tragedy. And, of course, you have statements that we've said all our life. You snooze, you lose. In other words, you weren't ready. It's there. So you got to get ready and be ready to do whatever God wants you to do. And there's certain things that I enjoy doing as far as hobbies. One of them is fishing. And I've told you this before, I think, but fishing with a topwater plug is my favorite type of fishing. But if you're not ready, you're going to miss it because they're not going to send out a text message. They're not going to tell you, hey, I'm fixing to explode on your plug. They're just going to do it. And if you're not ready, you're going to miss them. And again, they always get 5 or 6 pounds bigger when you miss them, right? I know that had to be an 8-pound bass, or oh goodness, and it was probably just a little bitty one. But anyway, you weren't ready. You can't be snoozing, or you're going to be losing when it comes to that. You have to be ready. So the Bible tells us very plain: be ye also ready. Have your go bag ready. Don't have to go get right with God. Just stay right with God. Don't have to go do something like the Bible told us to do. Just always be doing something that the Bible tells us to do. So when he comes back, he wants to find us ready and willing right then. Not, okay, Lord, hold on a second. Give me a second. The Bible makes it very plain. And I won't take time to read all these verses, but there's verses in the Bible that says, make ready or be ready for this. Make ready for war. The Bible tells us we ought to always be ready for war. Now, I'm not talking about the kind that that's taking place over in the Middle East right now, things like that. But it's a war to live this Christian life because we got to fight against Satan. And so we have to be just like we ought to be ready. We have agencies, we have military branches that watch for us. And if an enemy does approach this nation, of course, 9/11, we got caught off guard. We weren't ready that day. Things like that. So now we have agencies and we have protection and things like that. People are sitting on ready for war. But of course, a Christian ought to be careful this way as well. The devil can blindside you. The devil can cause temptation to come. The devil can cause some type of thing to happen if we weren't ready. And he catches us blindsided. So the Bible tells us to make ready for war. Then it says to have your sword ready. Back in the Bible times, that's what they fought with, was a sword. But again, they went to war that day, and their sword was always sharp. It was always clean. It was always ready. And they made ready. And so, of course, we have the Bible is known as our sword. So we ought to know about it. We ought to know how to use it. We ought to know how to find the right answers in it, things like that. So be ready with your sword. The Bible tells us to be ready with our bow and our arrows. And so, that's not a literal sword. That's a figurative sword, and that's a spiritual sword. So same thing here with our bow and arrows. it may not be literal ones, but we ought to be able to shoot back at the devil. Again, when he tempts us, the Bible says God makes a way of escape. And so if we know and we have our bow full of quiver of verses, things that we can shoot back at him when the devil says, hey, do this, boom, the Bible says not to do that. Hey, won't you get involved in this sin? No, the Bible says, boom. We ought to be able to shoot those arrows. Be ready. Numbers 32:17 says this, but we ourselves, so it's up to us individually to be ready or not, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel. So again, you can see the connotation, the person that is ready, they know how to use their sword, they're ready for battle. The person that's never even held a sword, they wouldn't be ready for battle. The person that knows the Bible, the person that doesn't know the Bible, they would be ready for spiritual warfare, wouldn't be ready for spiritual warfare. So the Bible says, hey, you yourselves be ready, armed before the children of Israel until we have brought thee unto their place, and our little children, one, shall dwell in the fenced cities because the habitation of the land. And of course, so this verse says here for the adults, the leaders, to be ready with their swords. The children, let's keep them inside the fenced areas. And so again, you don't tell your five-year-old, hey, we'll see you tomorrow. You know, go out and party, do what you want to, go where you want to, do what you want to, things like that. No, you keep them in safe areas. Go to your room. Stay inside the house. Don't go off our property. Do not go to this area. Do not go to that area. Why? Because you know what can happen to them. So, because they're not ready to face the world. And so the person that is ready to face the world and the person that's not supposed to face or ready to face the world, obviously there's a difference. So we're looking at that. Now let's look at one more verse over in chapter 25. Those verses was talking to the saved people. Hey, you be ready because the Lord could come back at any time. You be ready because Satan could blindside you at any time. You be ready because life can just happen at any time. And so now in chapter 25, verse 10, is talking to the unsaved. Unsaved. It says here in verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And so, of course, when the Lord comes back, if the person's ready and they're saved, they will go. If the person's not ready and they're not saved, they will not go. Plain as day. And so, of course, we ought to be ready as far as our salvation goes. But we ought to be ready as far as our Christian warfare goes as well. So, when he comes back, we'll see here that the saved, the born again, the ones that have the Son, they will go with him. The ones that are not saved, the ones that are not born again, they have not the Son, they will not go. And of course, it gives the connotation here in verse 40 and 41 of chapter 24, right there on the page that we were just on. It says here, then shall two be in the field, talking about the one ready and the one that's not ready. There'll be two in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. And then in verse 41 it says, two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken and the other left. And of course, so that's why it's important that we're ready. And again, I believe everybody here tonight at the age of accountability is most likely saved. There's some that the Lord's dealing with, things like that. But we're all ready as far as our salvation goes. And that's the Bible says right there. And again, and I've heard people talk about it. You know, if you were on an airplane and one pilot was saved and the co-pilot was lost, you would be okay. No. If you're saved, you're going with the one that was saved too. You're gone too. So you don't have to worry about it. Well, I don't want to die in a plane crash. Well, if you're saved, you'll be ready. You'll leave with the one that was saved and he'll be gone as well, or she'll be gone as well. So we're ready that way. Now, there are those that are not saved, not born again, and not have the Son. They're not going to be ready. And so the chorus, the hymn called There's a Great Day Coming, in the chorus it says three times, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? And so, of course, the person that's saved, they're ready for that. And the person that's not, they're not ready for that. So the Bible tells us to be ye also ready. And again, I told you this, I try to be this type of person for everybody that I have a relationship with. In other words, if anybody in my family needs something, I want them to know they could call me. My sons, they call me sometimes and they'll ask me a Bible question. Or they'll ask me a situation, what would you do if this was happening? And I want to be ready to give them any answer. And the Bible tells us, and we're going to read the verse here in a little while, to be able to answer every man. And that's our responsibility. If we want to be faithful, If we want to be wise, we want to be a servant, we ought to be ready. Again, when my dad called me the other day and talked about his will and said, I'd like for you to come sit down, we'll talk it through and we'll go sign the papers and all that stuff. I'm ready, whatever he needs. I'll do it. And so, again, that's what the Bible's talking about here. Be ready. I have friends. I hope all of you consider yourself my friend. But if my friend needs me, hey, I'm broke down on the side of the road. Oh, sorry. Be praying for you. No, I would say, hey, where you at? Drop me a pin or give me an address. I'll come pick you up. Or what can I do? I'll bring some tools, or I'll bring a chain or a snatch rope or something. Be ready to help in any way I can. And there's lots of you that are that way. I've seen that since I've been here. If somebody is in need, you're right there to help. Carry anything, or to encourage. And that's what friends are supposed to be. They're supposed to be ready. Of course, we need to be ready when God comes back. And so all that was introduction. We're going to look at four things here that we need to be ready at any second in our lifetime until the Lord comes back. So four things to be ready for when God comes back at His whim. So number one, be ready to stand. Be ready to stand. Joshua 8:4 says this, "And he commanded them, saying, Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behold, or behind the city, go not very far from the city, but be ye also ready." Be ye also ready to take a stand. We're supposed to take a stand. The Bible tells us to, having done all, to stand. So we ought to be ready to take a stand. Now, I'm not advocating being a jerk. I'm not advocating being mean. I'm not advocating always looking for a fight. Okay? But we ought to be ready to take a stand. In our world today, of course, opinions are flying around like crazy. Obviously, I try to have all my opinions biblically based. And so if I have a chance, again, not to start an argument, not to be a jerk to somebody, not to make them belittle them, make them feel like that I'm superior to them. But no, be ready to take a stand. We ought to take a stand. Ephesians 6:11 says this, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Again, the devil wants to defeat us, destroy us, cripple us, whatever he can do to us. And so we ought to always be ready to take a stand against him. Take a stand against him. Now, the Bible says to stand against the world. The Bible says to stand against our enemy, which is Satan and his demons. And then it also says to take a stand against your flesh. So you have to put yourself in place sometimes. Now, there's been times that I've taken stands. I'll give you a few of them where it was that, you're not going to convince me. You're not going to change my mind. You're just not going to. I'm doing this to make a stand or to take a stand. And just, you might as well drop it because we're not going anywhere. And one of them was when I was in Bible college. And I believe it was my junior or senior year. I was almost graduated. And my wife and I, we traveled with a tour group, an ensemble. We traveled every weekend and all summer long representing the college, trying to recruit students for the college, things like that. And that took care of our tuition, room and board, and so forth. We had to pay for our food and books and things like that. But it was a scholarship, and it helped. So we were in that, and we had to practice, I think it was every day. Where are you at? Every day at 3 o'clock? Or three times a week at 12 o'clock, right after lunch, right? All right. And so Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I believe it was. And so we would go in there and we would practice and we would learn new songs. If it was around the 4th of July, we would learn patriotic stuff. If it was around Christmas, we'd learn Christmas stuff. And we practiced. And so that was one of our responsibilities, was to be in a practice. And so, yeah, not a problem. And so we had a Bible conference there at our college that we were in, and a guy came and spoke, and then they had a special group, or actually a soloist there that week, and she sang, and she did a great job. Beautiful voice. Spectacular job in the singing. And so she came over to our ensemble practice. And so, I guess we were supposed to be impressed, because she was a little older than us. And I mean, she was very talented. And so, anyway, she comes in there, and so we're all sitting there, and she starts talking to us. And she said, she starts giving us her music philosophy. And, of course, I think the Bible says that we ought to sing spiritual songs and hymns, that's what the Bible says to do. And songs about the Lord and songs about heaven and things like that. And so she says, well, I think what you ought to do is you ought to listen to all types of music. Okay? So again, that goes against what the Bible says. that goes against what I believe. And I was like, so I didn't agree with that. And so she said, you know, you can listen to some rock music, and you can listen to some pop music, and you can listen to some rap music, and you can listen to some, you know, I guess she had to put Christian in there, right? Because she was at a church. But anyway, and she said, so then you can develop your style and this, that, and other. And I just had about all I was going to take. And so I just stood up and walked out. And so the guy that was in charge of us, he came up about right here on me. And he comes running out or shuffling out or whatever he was doing out after me and says, you get back in there. And I was like, I'm not going back in there. And he's like, yes, you are. I said, and I was like, well, unless you're going to put me back in there, I'm not going back in there. And again, I didn't say, you stupid jerk. I didn't say that she was a heifer. I just didn't try to do anything mean. I was just like, I'm not going to listen to that. I don't agree with that, and I'm not going to participate in that. And if you'll just drop it, I'll drop it. We'll be fine. But as far as I was concerned, I was taking a stand because I wasn't going to listen to somebody teach me that, you know, I ought to sing worldly stuff, because the Bible says I ought to sing godly stuff. I shouldn't sing about immorality and things like that. I should sing about God. And so I just took a stand. And again, I went on my way. He went back in there, I guess, and so forth. So you have to take a stand sometimes. There was another time in my life that I was in public school and I was playing sports. And so I felt like the Lord wanted me to go to the Christian school, so I had to take my little piece of paper around to all my teachers and get my grade at that point so I could take it with me to the Christian school. And so I went to my football coach, which was also in charge of weightlifting, and he put down my grade on weightlifting and said, where are you going? And I was like, well, I'm going to a Christian school at my church. And he said, oh, you'll be back. And he said, that Christian stuff, it don't last. It's just a whim. It's just something that it's a phase. You'll get over it. That kind of stuff. Just on and on and on. And so again, I didn't say, you stupid jerk. But inside of me, I was like, no, this is what God wants me to do. And, you know, I'm gonna see it through. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I was like, you know, God's strong enough to help me overcome any of these issues that you keep bringing back up. And I took a stand. And again, I remember my baseball coach wanting me to play baseball on Sunday. I took a stand. That's the Lord's day. Not going to do it. And so again, I was ready to take all these stands. And I've told you this story before about the young man. He was an older man. Wanted me to take him to the store to get him a beer. And because he didn't have a vehicle. And I was like, no. I'm a preacher, and it would be wrong for me to aid and abet you in getting some alcohol. And he told me, well, stink. I would have told you I wanted some water if you would have just taken me to the store. I was like, I probably would have. But I took a stand. I'm not going to participate in aiding and abetting you to sin. So sometimes we have to take stands. I'm not saying to be a mean, antagonistic person or a jerk, but sometimes you have to take a stand. And if they will leave it alone, that's fine. So Ephesians 6:13 says this, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day, and having done all to stand. So of course, in the Bible, it tells us to be ready. To be ready what? To take a stand. Number two, be ready to serve. Be ready to serve. 2 Samuel 15:15 says this, and the king's servant said unto the king, behold, the servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And of course, we're supposed to be this way. We're the servants of the Lord. We ought to be at his beckoning whim. Whatever you want, Lord. And so I ought to be ready to take a stand. Stand up for the Lord. That's not Christian. That's not in the Bible. That's not what God wants me to do. I should take that stand. Be ready to take that stand at any moment. Even if I get ridiculed. Even if I get, you know, cursed out. I ought to be ready to take that stand. Secondly, I ought to be ready to serve. Whatever you want me to do. And that's what he said here in 2 Samuel. Hey, king, all the servants are ready. You just say the word, and we're there. And again, I appreciate that about this church. Anytime that we have a fellowship, woof, that room is set up or taken back down just like that. Everybody's ready to help. Everybody's ready to pitch in. And that's exactly what the Bible says here. We ought to be ready to do whatever. We ought to be ready to serve the Lord with all of our heart. 1 Samuel 12:24 says this, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things that the Lord has done for you." So again, I don't have to think about serving the Lord. I don't think about having to figure out a time to squeeze the Lord in. No, I'm sitting on ready. If the Holy Spirit says, and again, I've failed in this area, but if the Holy Spirit says, witness that person, I want to be ready to do it. If that person needs a helping hand, and the Holy Spirit says, help that person out, I want to be ready to do it. Just like this guy said, "Hey, King, all the servants are ready. You just appoint. You just say." Why? Because it says right there, just consider what the Lord's done for you. Again, in our day and time, it's not as prevalent, but back in the day, if you did something for somebody, all the way down to the point, I would give that person a shirt off my back. They in turn would feel grateful and have some gratitude towards you and say, "Hey, look, anytime I can help you." And that's what I've always tried. My dad taught me this. If somebody ever helped me out, all you got to do, pick up the phone, call me. I'll be right there to help you because you've helped me. That just makes sense in my brain. And so if we look at all the Lord, what the Lord's done for us, it ought not be, "Okay, Lord, you know, let me see if I can squeeze you in." No. You just say something and I'll put off my what I'd like to do and put you right up at the top of the list. Why? Because it says right there, everything that the Lord's done for me, I'll read it to you again. "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you." 1 Samuel 12:24. So when I think the Lord saved me and I'm on my way to heaven, if I think that way, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do whatever. You just say the word. And if I look at my life and obviously think about the parents that God gave me, that took me to church, that taught me to be honest, that raised me right, that corrected me when I needed it, and have done everything in the world for me. God, you gave me those parents. You just say the word. I'll put down anything I'm doing and do what you want me to do. If I look at, obviously my life before I got saved, whew, scary. And then those 7 years of backslidden state after I got saved, and God kept me from ruining my life, so that I could still stand here and serve Him. God, you just mention it. You just even halfway hint that you want something done. I'm doing it for you. When I think about my life as that 17-year-old and growing up in the little town of Hickory Flat, Georgia, with one flashing light, and God sent a church there and let it be built inside of a chicken house so I could learn the Word of God, so I could learn how to serve the Lord. You did all that for me. You just mention something. It's done. Lord, all the things that you did for me, leading me to that Bible college where I could meet my wife and be married and serve with her for all these years. You did that for me. You just mention it. The 34 years that I got to be an assistant pastor in the church in Florida, I was able to serve the Lord and do a lot of things for Him. You just mention anything you want done, Lord, it's done. He's given me two wonderful sons. And with those sons came two wonderful daughter-in-laws. And then with those two daughter-in-laws came seven wonderful grandkids. And all the blessings that God, you bless me with that. You just mention it, and it's done. And that's what this verse is saying. Just consider how great things He's done for you. It won't be that hard to say, "Lord, I'll be there. I will do what you want me to do." All the friends that He's given me, all the help that He's given me through my life, and the one day, all the things that we talked about this morning that He's going to do for us, and we're becoming like Him, you just mention it, God. It's done. That's how we ought to be ready to serve Him. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says this, "Serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches the hearts." So again, as we're serving God, if we're doing it with a, "The Bible says I have to do this, so I better do it because I don't want to get in trouble," that's not a perfect heart. That's doing what you're supposed to do so you don't get in trouble. Again, like my dad, he wanted me to be happy. about doing, you know, obedience, right away with a happy spirit. And that's what it says here. Search, because the Lord searches our heart and understandeth all the imaginations of thoughts. If they seek Him, or if they seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. And so we see here in this connotation, 1 Chronicles 28:9, God wants us to serve Him. And all those servants that we heard about just a second ago, hey, King, all the servants are ready. You just speak the word, we'll be right there doing it. If they didn't do it with a happy spirit, He didn't want it to be done. Just don't worry about it. That's what my dad would tell me if I was, I'll just do it myself. Okay. Again, God wants us to be happy about serving Him. Psalm 100 verse 2 says this, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Sometimes people are so happy that it gets on your nerves. All right, they're either singing, they're whistling, they're skipping. It can be just before daylight and they're just like excited. And you're like, oh, dude, what in the world? Let me wake up first. That's exactly what it's talking about here. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. It's kind of like the cartoon where the big old bulldog Spike walking down through there. Maybe he's got a toothpick. And the little chihuahua's jumping around. Hey, Spike, hey, Spike, hey, Spike, hey, Spike. Let's do this, Spike. Hey, Spike, you want to do this? Spike smacks the little dog. Hush. That's exactly what we're supposed to be. Lord, you want something? Can I do anything for you? I'm right here. Hey, Lord, I will serve you. Why? Because of all the things you've done for me. Sing a song? I'll do it. Preach a sermon? Count me in. Go soul winning in? Yes, sir. Help the widows or help the person that's struggling? Count me in. I'm there. That's exactly what He's talking about. And be excited about it. So we ought to be ready to take a stand. We ought to be ready to serve. Matthew 24:40 says this, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And so that's exactly why we serve whoever we can, because the Bible says that we're doing it unto the Lord. So number one was be ready to take a stand. Number two was be ready to serve. Number three, and some of us are good at this one. Number three, be ready to speak. Be ready to speak. Psalm 45:1 says this, I speak of things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is a pen of a ready writer. And so again, we ought to be sitting on ready to brag on God. Tomorrow at work, you're going to hear, we did this weekend. Or I shot this weekend. Or I caught this weekend. I built this weekend. Or I did this. Hey, we went to church. That tongue ought to be a ready pen to give God some credit. We had a great day at church yesterday. God is great. God is awesome. And be ready to say that. The Bible says in Isaiah 32, He will help us and give us what to say. Because a lot of times we'll think, okay, yeah, the Lord saved me. The Lord kept me clean. The Lord helped me in my family. The Lord's put my family together. The Lord's done this for me. The Lord's done that for me. God is awesome. He deserves it. Yeah, but I'm scared. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do it. Isaiah 32:4 says this, the heart of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be made ready to speak plainly. And so, again, we see here, just like Moses, God, I will lead those people, but I'm slow of tongue. I stutter. I'm not that smart. I don't know what to say. And, of course, He gave him his brother to help, smooth that out, things like that. But He just said, hey, you just open your mouth and I will fill it. So, again, God wants us to be ready to speak. But He also says here He'll give us what to say. Again, when I go soul winning, again, there are some things that I have prepared. There are some things that I have, studied and things like that over the years. But when I go to the door, I'm just ready to talk, say whatever the Holy Spirit leads me to say. Now, He's not going to just make you talk, but if you're willing, He says, hey, the tongue that stammers, it'll be made ready to speak plainly. He told many in the Bible, just open your mouth and I will fill it. Romans 1:15 says this, Paul said, I'm ready to preach. So just like Moses was ready to speak when God gave him what to say, Paul was ready to preach. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. What did Paul look at? Everything before the Damascus Road experience, I blew it. I've made a bunch of blunders. I've made some mistakes. God saved me. Now I'm ready to preach. God, I'll do whatever. I'll say whatever. He was ready to preach. He was ready to speak. He didn't say, he did not think that he had arrived. He said, I haven't apprehended. I haven't achieved. I'm still the chiefest of sinners, but I'm ready to preach about Jesus and His forgiveness. He forgot his past, and he didn't use it as an excuse. Satan will try to do all that. He will try to keep us from being ready to speak. He'll try to puff you up. He'll try to tear you down. But we ought to all speak humbly. Number one was, be ready to stand. Number two was, be ready to serve. Number three was, be ready to speak. And number four, the last one, be ready to seek. Be ready to seek. Isaiah 55:6. Be ready to seek. Of course, tomorrow some of you have to go to school. And your teacher wants you, or your mom wants you, or whoever is teaching you wants you to be ready to learn. And you're like, ugh. It's hard to be excited about math. It's hard to be excited about social studies. It's hard to be excited about science, unless you like those things. Some of those are easy to be excited about. But we ought to be ready to learn. And that's exactly what this is talking about. Isaiah 55:6 says this, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. or while he is near, is what the verse says. And so we ought to be ready to seek the Lord. Sitting on the edge of our seat. If we are in a class or we're having a subject taught to us that we do like, we're like, give it to me. You can't say too much. I'm ready to learn. My fingers are ready to type, or my pen's ready to write. I'm going to take notes. Why? Because I love this subject. And of course, that's what it says here. We ought to seek the Lord. Three things here where we ought to seek the Lord. Number one, when we go to church. When we go to church, I believe that's why you're all here. Number one, you want to be obedient to the Lord. And He says, forsake not the assembling. You're here because you're wanting to be blessed of God. You love Him. Things like that. But when we come, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5:1, it says this, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. So in other words, maybe we ought not run around the church, swing from the chandeliers, trip our neighbor. Keep your foot, behave yourself when you go into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. And so again, there's a lot of churches these days that they people want to go so they can give out their opinion. I'm just up here because God called me to do this. I don't think I have it all figured out. I'm not just blah, 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 because I want y'all to think I'm smart. I'm not just thinking, oh man, let me just wax eloquence here and just show you my knowledge of the Bible. No. That's what this verse is saying. When you go to church, we ought not go to show out and say, God has spoken to me and God has given me a word today and God has... No, no. No, we ought to be ready to listen. Again, that's what they've always said. You got two ears, one mouth. Listen twice as much as you talk. There's a lot of people, you can't hardly teach them anything because this is always running. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I think blah, 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 blah. Let's see what God thinks. let's hear what, and that's what it said. When you go to church, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, that thou may be ready to hear than to give sacrifice to fools. Most people that just run off the mouth, well, I just think this and I think that, and let me tell you what I've discovered and so forth. And again, if we can do that with humbleness, and we're doing that because God has given us that opportunity, that's one thing. But just to go, a lot of people, that's what they're looking for. Somewhere they can give their thoughts and their opinions. Because it says here, for they consider not that they do evil. Again, I'd hate to do evil in the church. I promise you, with God's help, I won't ever stand up here and say, I've got this thing figured out. You just listen to me and I'll fix all your problems. I can talk and just tell you wonderful truths because I'm spectacular and I'm super spiritual. No, no. When we go, we want to listen. And long before I come to here to preach what I'm preaching to you, I've heard it from the Holy Spirit in there. And He's popped me upside the head with some of these truths. And said, no, you need to get ready to do this. And you need to be ready to do this. And so forth. And so, again, that's what we see. And number one, or A was when you go to church, be ready to seek the Lord. B is when you have a quiet time. when you have a quiet time. 2 Corinthians 8:19 tells us to have a ready mind. Ready mind. So in other words, when I sit down to read my Bible, maybe I ought to turn the TV off. Maybe I ought to go somewhere where there's not 14 kids flying through the living room and screaming at each other. That's probably not a good time to try to read the Bible. We ought to have a ready mind. Again, it's hard. That's why sometimes we ought to get up a little bit early so we can have that quiet time. Maybe before the news. Maybe before all the what we have to do for that day. Listen. Be ready when you have that quiet time. And then see what we ought to be ready to seek the Lord when we go about our daily life. When we go about our daily life. So again, yes, we all understand. When we go to church, we ought to seek the Lord. When we have our private time with Him at the beginning of the day, we ought to seek the Lord. But the Bible tells us that we ought to seek the Lord all throughout the day. And of course, you know, you can see this. The Bible tells us that you can see His handiwork. Right now, this is a pretty time of the year. When we were coming back from North Carolina yesterday, coming through Tennessee, up a little higher elevation, I think maybe that makes the leaves a little bit more vibrant. And there were some bright red trees and some bright orange trees and some bright yellow trees, things like that. And it was beautiful. And you can see God's handiwork. God's amazing. And so you can see Him throughout the day, but the Bible tells us to seek Him throughout the day. 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man." I'll read that again for you. "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts." In other words, He's right there with you. God, you give me the things to say. You give me the thoughts to think. You give me the reactions to react with. You give me the answers. "And be ready always to give an answer to every man." It's funny. You see somebody, out in public, you see people, maybe they break down or they come here to do some type of business and things like that. And usually around church, people do try to watch their mouth. We had some, they were on fire for God out here the other day when they were out here digging in the dirt. They were smoking, all right, and they were, on the church property smoking, things like that. But usually they'll watch their mouth. But out in public, they don't know that I'm a preacher. And they'll blankety-blank this or blankety-blank that. And I'll say, well, praise the Lord. God is good. They'll look over there. Ooh, you a preacher? Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry about that. They'll start backing up and retracting and all that stuff, things like that. So that's what it says here. Sanctify yourself. Sanctify the Lord in your heart and be ready to answer every man. Again, I don't want to be a jerk about it. I don't want to be mean-spirited about it. I don't want to have the, aha, I told you so or I'll show you. But no, I want to be able to answer every man. And again, look for an opportunity to witness. If that person is going through a hard time, I don't understand why God allowed this to happen. Well, let's think about it for a second. Hey, Lord, give me what to say. I'm seeking you. I want to give them an answer. I want to know how to answer them. And I want to answer them in the way that you would want me to answer them. So again, we see here that we're supposed to be ready. Be ready to take a stand against family, against employers. Again, not being a jerk. You're not going to be able to make that place of employment just like our church. You can't do that. That's not our job. But we can take a stand. We don't have to be put down because of our beliefs and things like that. Take a stand. Be ready to serve at any whim. Think about what all God has done for you. It'll be easy to serve Him back. Then be ready to speak. And lastly, be ready to seek. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll have our invitation. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I ask you to help us, Lord, to realize that the Bible says to be ready, have anticipation, sit on the edge of our seat. Lord, help me. If I have an opportunity to take a stand, help me to take one. If I get an opportunity to serve, help me to serve. Lord, if I get an opportunity to say something for you or about you, Lord, help me to be ready to do that. Lord, help me always be looking for you and looking what you're trying to do in each situation in my life. In Jesus' name, let's all stand. Altar's open. If you'd like to come pray, ask the Lord to help you in any situation. Altar's open.